Let's just start with prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord, and we just praise you and just give you glory, Lord. And thank you, Father, for just charging this atmosphere with your Spirit. Thank you, Lord, that praise and worship and glory goes to you tonight, Father, that just the impossible just gets done. And we just praise you and we thank you, Lord, and we worship you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's start out in Luke 17 tonight and in verse 20. Pastor Mark started out the year talking about the kingdom of God, and I'm going to pick up on that subject now and talk about another part of that, and hit upon the fact that the kingdom of God is within you. And so in Luke 17, verse 20, Jesus said, "Now when he was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, he answered them and said, 'The kingdom of God does not come with observation, nor will they say, see here or see there. For indeed the kingdom of God is within you.'" So he's talking, the question was when. How many times do you know you ask, "Well, when, Lord, when are you going to do this? When is this going to happen? When, you know, how long is this going to be? When is the glory going to fall? When are these things going to happen?" So those are the kind of questions they were asking. And Jesus put it right upon them and said, "The kingdom that you're looking for is right on the inside of you. It's that close." And so his kingdom is alive inside of us. See, the kingdom of God is where the king lives and has control. And so he lives on the inside of you, and he has control on the inside of you. And wherever you go, the kingdom of God goes with you. Every parable, everything you read in the scriptures about the kingdom of God, he's talking about on the inside of you. He's talking about a tree growing up and becoming a big tree. You know, you're changing as you go. And so the kingdom of God is not something in the future, it's a now thing. Amen? So when we read the scriptures, don't say, "Well, I wish, you know, I wish I could see this," or "I wish I could experience it." It's a now thing. It's today's thing. He has come and he has put the kingdom of God and the Spirit of God on the inside of us, and so it's on. So it's now. It's a now thing. See, when you step into the kingdom of God, all things are possible to those who believe. See, that's open to you 24/7, no matter where you are. See, when trouble comes and things start happening and we get confused and get bogged down, we've just got to look at the fact that he's already placed the kingdom of God on the inside of us and put the Holy Spirit on the inside of us to guide us. See, we can overcome that, and so he's given us and he's equipped us to do that. I always like to personalize scriptures when I look at them like that. And so this one's just pretty simple. It says, "The kingdom of God is on the inside of me." All right, let's just say that three times. Okay, so the kingdom of God is on the inside of me. The kingdom of God is on the inside of me. The kingdom of God is on the inside of me. See, you just keep saying that and saying that to build your awareness of the fact that he has placed the kingdom on the inside of you. And when you read in the scriptures about the kingdom of God, you just begin to start applying and say, "How does this fit with me? How is this impacting me? How do I apply this?" And just begin to really grow and look at it that way. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians 4, verse 18. I'm going to read this out of the NIV. It says, "Some of you have become arrogant, as if I were coming to you, but I will come to you very soon, if the Lord willing, and then I'll find out not only how these arrogant people are talking, but what power they have. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, but of power." Oh, glory to God. Here we go. So, he was, you know, everybody talks, okay? And people like to talk, and people like to sound intelligent and things like that. But that's not all. It's not what it's about. You can sound intelligent, but there's got to be the power of God involved in it. Amen? And so you really got to look at it and say, the kingdom is not just talking. We like good sermons, but it's power that's with it. It's a power to change a life. It's power to transform things. It's power to just renew things and set people free. So it's that kind of power that's in this. So in this word power is the Greek word dunamis. Now there's several meanings of this word. One of them is miraculous power, marvelous works, explosive strength, ability and might, dynamic, and that's a word that's relating to physical force or energy. It's marked by continuous and productive activity and change. So when you're in the kingdom of God, every year changing. It's a constant change. It's going on the inside of you all the time. And what God wants to do is for that change to come out of you and start impacting the people around you. See, He's equipped us to have maximum impact upon all the people around us. So that power is an explosive power. Think about, you know, the word dynamite that comes from that. We use that every day. Well, what does dynamite do? It blows up stuff. It removes things that are in your way. Glory to God. You know, and so it is that kind of power that He's put on you, not to just talk good, but He's put the power on you to live victoriously and to set other people free. Amen. He has caused you to be in a place. See, wherever you're working at, wherever you're at, what store you go to, all that, you're not there by accident. You're around people that need to hear that God loves them, that God wants to set them free. And so that's a constant theme within the Scriptures, is that we need to take this freedom that we have and be able to spread it to other people. You were designed for this power, so in you is the ability to change the world around you. That's already been deposited in you. If you're having trouble with this, we've been seated in heavenly places with Christ. That's a pretty good place. Amen? So we've got great power that He's put in us. He's planted on inside of us the kingdom of God. He's planted on us the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit guides us on a day-in, day-out basis. We should always be keyed in on Him and being guided throughout the day. How do you want me to do this? Who do you want me to talk to? What do you want me to say to them? All these different things. See, that's the conversations that we need to be having with the Holy Spirit, because He's going to give us input. If we don't ask, He won't give us any input. And so we really need to be keying in on Him and saying, what do you want me to do today? That's a great way to start the day. What do you want me to do today? So let's personalize this part of it. It says, the kingdom of God and the miraculous power of God is on the inside of me. All right, a little longer. The kingdom of God and the miraculous power of God are on the inside of me. So let's do this three times. The kingdom of God and the miraculous power of God are on the inside of me. The kingdom of God and the miraculous power of God are on the inside of me. The kingdom of God and the miraculous power of God are on the inside of me. And so when you get that, those two scriptures together, He has given you great power to move mountains, great power to pray for people and see people being delivered. He's given you the ability to get insight into those people that they don't know what to do or why they're doing what they're doing. So you've been placed in a place to do that. So the kingdom of God is something that we just need to engage on an every day in, day out basis. I don't know about you, but one of the problems I have is I go throughout the day and I think, wow, I didn't even have much of a conversation with God today. And so I have to kind of revert back and try to wind things back up again and get back into hearing from the Lord. You know, because you get out there doing your own thing and all of a sudden the day's gone. So it's a challenge to just start it real good and then stay in tune with Him, and that you will find that He will give you assignments to do. What do you want me to do today? He'll tell you something. And so He wants us to get really keyed in on Him. Now let's turn to 1 Corinthians 2, verse 1. And it says, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling, and my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." And so Paul here was taught how to speak. He knew how to speak. He knew how to persuade. He knew how to get out and give a perfect speech and convince people how to do things, because he had been trained in the Jewish schools. So he knew how to do that. And so what he found was when he did that, there was really no power behind that, because he was doing it on his own. He was doing it out of his own logic. He was just saying things that sounded good, but there was no power in it. And so he says here that, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Now, the word demonstration is something that it was outwardly seen that authenticates and proves and guarantees the message to be true. So it's something that's seen, outwardly seen, that backs up what was just said. Think about it like a product demonstration, okay? We see these magical inventions and things like that, and so somebody's demonstrating it and saying, here's how you do this, and they go, what are they doing? They're proving that what they're saying is true by demonstrating how it works. Well, this is the same word here, this demonstrating is that there's a word of God that comes forward from somebody, and then God is going to try to back that up with what to manifest what's being said. For example, if the Lord had led me to believe to preach being saved tonight, I would come here expecting people showing up that were lost. Amen. Okay? If he told me to talk about healing, I would expect people to come in here with all kinds of stuff, needing healing, you know? Why? Because he knows who's going to be there, and he knows how, you know, what needs to be manifested. And so Paul centered in on this here and said that, I could get up and give a really good sounding lesson, but if there's not a manifestation of the power of God in it, then I'm just wasting words here. And so there has to be manifestation of what's being said in order for the power to really flow through. God is really big about backing up what He said. That's right. Amen? Yeah. He is really big about backing up what He said. And He will do that through you. When I was saved, this is going back a few years, okay, I was Catholic, didn't know much, and I saw people go forward and get saved, and you know, I'd see them, you know, they'd cry, they'd laugh, they'd just be joyous, there would be expression there and all that, so I thought one day, okay, I'm going to go up there then and see what this is all about. So I went up, and I prayed the prayer, and I absolutely felt nothing. I mean, it's just nothing. And I went back to my seat, and I thought, okay, that wasn't what I expected. And I thought, well, so all that day I thought, well, did I do that right? Or, you know, what was it, you know? Am I saved or not? And, you know, the next day I went to work, and I had managed people at that time. And I was known at that time for having a lot of language, expletive language, that I used in every sentence. And so when I would tell somebody something, it would take me a while to tell them. And so I called the team together just, you know, to give them some instructions for the day, and it usually had a lot of XX stuff in it. And so I get out there, and it's gone. All I could say is what they needed to go do, and there was my cursing was just gone. And I thought, wow, that's weird. And so I walked back to my office, and I just looked up to heaven, and I said, and I could just see God saying, gotcha. And you know, God loves to surprise people. He loves to come from different angles and just, you know, where you just stand there and you go, that's God right there. He just did that because there was just no way that could happen. See, that's the power of God in action. See, He wants to do things that cause people to just stagger and go, my God, He's real. You know? We live in a very skeptical age. I mean, you know, whether you're talking about Islam, Hinduism, whatever you're talking about, you know, they don't have any power. That's it. That's all they can do is bow down and hope that they do right. And at least on Hinduism, you keep coming back until you finally get it right. I don't know what that is all about. That's not a really good way to do it. But there's no power to change a life there. All you ever do is hope you do enough to get in. But nobody ever knows if they get in. So here we follow a God who's personally involved with His people and wants to not only impact your life, but impact everybody around you. Amen. And so it's just like a wave of goodness just flowing. And He, you know, when you pray for people, He will do the most amazing things. Most amazing. I mean, you know, I still never get tired of it. Because I never know quite how He's ever going to get there. And when you look at all the connections that had to happen for that to happen, it was like, man, that's extravagant. See, God is, He's a God of power. And when we pray and when we impact people, He will start moving for us. So it's a demonstration of the Spirit and power. In the kingdom of God, there's a connection between what is verbally said and what actually happens. And then we're going to go through some examples here where this happens. And I'm only going to do three examples. There are a ton of them in the scriptures. And so you can just go look and see and have a good time at it. But when what is said in the scriptures happens. Amen? And so we need to get that down in our life, that when we're reading something, we're not just reading something to just do our duty and things like that. We're reading something expecting that to happen. We're speaking something expecting that to happen. And so we need to get in tune with that so that we don't fall short of anything. So we're going to start out with Jesus in Matthew 11 and verse 4. And he said, Jesus answered and said to them, "Go and tell John the things which you hear and see. And the blind see, and the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them." So Jesus is our example. And so John the Baptist, who was in prison at this time, sent some people to him and said, "Are you the one, or is there somebody else to come?" And so this is how he answered him. He said, "Go and tell him what you hear and what you see." Now, what they were seeing was the blind seeing, the lame walking, the lepers being cleansed, the deaf hearing, the dead being raised up, the poor having the gospel preached to them. What was he preaching to them? That. He was preaching freedom to them. He was preaching liberty to them. He was preaching the power of God to them. He was preaching that they could get set free. And so because he was doing that, God was confirming his words with signs following. Now you say, okay, that's Jesus, you know, he's perfect and all, and we can't be exactly like him. Don't kid yourself. Let's go to Acts chapter 8. Now, there's a guy named Philip in Acts chapter 8, which is pretty interesting. Now, there was an apostle Philip, but this is a different Philip, okay? I know more than one Philip, do you? Okay, so it's not unusual. So there's two Philips in the Bible, and this is the second one. Now, this guy, when we first find him, is in Acts chapter 6, and he's waiting on tables. And he's distributing food. Why? Because he was one of those people that was freeing up the apostles to go off and learn and teach and do and just keep doing what they're doing. So we pick him up here in chapter 8. Something happened between chapter 6 and chapter 8. So here he was waiting on tables and doing all these little things that he was supposed to do. And somewhere here between there and chapter 8, all of a sudden we run into this. So he says, "Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. And the multitudes with one accord heeded the things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with a loud voice, came out of many who were possessed, and many who were paralyzed and lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city." So here we see this phrase, hearing and seeing. They heard what was said, and then they began to see manifest what was being said. Glory to God. See, that's a pattern in the scriptures, that when you preach something or when you speak something to somebody that's actually from God, that should come to pass. We should expect it to come to pass. Amen? We're not just betting on that God's in a good mood. He's in a good mood all the time. Amen? And so he watches over his word to perform it. And so it's a constant thing with the scripture. We're going to take up a third example here in Acts chapter 14. And we're going to start in verse 8. Paul, and in Lystra, a certain man without strength in his feet was sitting, a cripple from his mother's womb who had never walked. This man heard Paul speaking. Paul observed him intently, and seeing that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, "Stand up straight on your feet." And he leaped and he walked. So here's a guy that was crippled from birth, never walked, never had any strength in his legs, didn't know how to walk. And so here he is, he's hearing Paul preach, and faith starts to rise. That's what happens when the Word of God starts going forth, is faith just begins to rise. You know, it's a natural thing. And so when you preach long enough, like Paul was known to preach all night sometimes, when you preach long enough, faith just keeps coming up and coming up from what he's preaching, and all of a sudden he saw this guy, that all of a sudden he said, yeah, he's got it, he's ready to be healed. Now, man, that's a daring thing to grab somebody that's never walked before in their life and pick them up. You got to know you heard from God on that one. So, but he was expecting manifestation of what he was preaching or what he was speaking. He was expecting it to come to pass, expecting God to do that. See, as children of the King, God wants us to be expecting. He wants us to be expecting that His Word's going to come to pass, that it's a done deal. Amen? And just because, I had somebody come up and we prayed for them one Sunday, they limped all the way up and they limped all the way back. But you can't be moved by what happens there, because a week later they come back and said, totally set free. You know, but glory to God, that's God, He is good. And it's not because it's an elegant prayer or anything like that. It's because God is faithful. Right. Amen? And He wants to show off His goodness. He wants to impact the lives of people. He wants to cause things to happen. He wants to even stagger the most sinful person in the world and just get them to stop and go, my God, He's real. He really cares. Amen? Amen? Yeah. And so you are one of those vehicles to really impact and be in a position to talk with people on that. Okay? All right, let's go to Mark chapter 16 and verse 17. Pastor Mark was talking about running the race last Sunday, and so that was great. And so this is part of running our races here in Mark 16, starting in verse 17. And these signs will follow those who believe. Any believers here? Amen. Come on, you're either in or out, man. It's okay. All right. Good. I'm glad you put your hands up or we'd make you stand up. Okay. This word follow here is there's another definition of it that says always be present. So I could substitute that in there and say, and these signs will always be present with those who believe. Amen. Always be present. Never a time when they wouldn't be present. As long as you're believing, they're present. Whether you're seeing them manifest right in front of you or not is irrelevant at this point. They will manifest. Amen? And so they're always present. And so we really got to key in on that those things are always present with me. In my name they will cast out demons, they will speak with new tongues, they will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. So then after the Lord had spoken to them, he received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. And they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs. So the Lord was working with them, right alongside of them, and he was confirming what they were speaking with the appropriate signs. See, signs, wonders, miracles, manifestations of the power of God. That was what was happening. As they would go forward, see, there was a difference between, at that time, the Jewish religion, which was all debate and lecture, and they sit up there and give your opinions about what they thought some scripture meant, and then they would talk about what somebody else thought it meant and bring all this stuff in there and get into a big debate. That was where they were at that time. And when Jesus came on the scene, it was preach the word, signs, wonders, and miracles to confirm the word. That hasn't changed today. That's still in play today. And so we see three examples here, and there are other on there. So these signs follow those to believe. A key here is that he wants the opportunity to impact people. And like I said before, you think, you know, you're just where you are just because you are where you are. But you're there for a reason. You're always there for a reason. That's right. And there's people around you that are in need. And so our opportunity is right in front of us. It's not like we have to go off to Bangladesh or something like that to go find a need, okay? But there's some over there if you want to go. Okay. But he wants to use us to show forth his power, his love, his grace, his fullness. He wants to show that to people, and he wants to do that through you. So always, you know, when we're doing that, it's just going to go through some things of what I try to do. And when you're talking with people every day, I mean, you know, you get into conversations with people, whether on the phone or whatever. But if you listen long enough, they'll tell you kind of where they're at and what they need. Usually they'll say something like, well, I wish home was going better, or I wish I had enough money to take care of all this, or something will come up in the conversation, okay? All right, don't just take that as whining, okay? This is an opportunity, okay? Because they've just put forth a need, you know? And so, you know, just let them go ahead and talk. Don't interrupt. But if you've had personal experience with God doing something about that in your life, or you've seen him do something like that, then it's okay to say, you know, I've seen God answer prayers on that, you know? And just kind of interject that into the discussion and just kind of keep it going. And, you know, tell them, you know, the Lord loves you and I think he wants to help you with that. I've seen him do this before. And so at that point, you know, you want to keep speaking encouragement to them, but then to, you know, ask them, if you mind, we just pray about that situation. You don't want to just stop them, but you want to get to a point where you go, can we pray with this? Now, I've never had anybody turn me down. Never. Now, I've had people that say, well, I've got to go to a meeting now or do this, and that's fine, okay. Well, I just tell them, well, I'll pray for you while you're in your meeting, okay? You know, and so you do what you get, what you can do. Now, I typically, if I'm going to pray for somebody, I've learned to ask the Lord what it is he wants me to pray. Now, I know how to pray by your stripes, you're healed. I know all those, and they're powerful, okay? Not trying to put that down at all, but the Lord may want to do something there that lets them know that you're hearing from him. Yes. Amen? Amen. And so you want to leave that open. How do you want me to do this, Lord? And that's not out loud. You're just having this conversation with God while you're getting ready to pray for this person. And what happens with me is that he will start guiding me in something. And sometimes he'll take me into a different subject than what they just asked me about. Yeah. Amen? I don't know if I'm going to get slapped or what, you know. But he knows. And so you go with it. And you pray. And you know, don't open your eyes and peek. See if anything's changing or anything like that. You just pray for him, you know, and you end up prayer with, you know, I've seen him do this before. He's going to take care of that. And you just leave him with that. And then after you get through with that, you just kind of walk off. You just begin praising the Lord for the answer. Right there. You just, you don't, you just, you don't stop just because you didn't see anything happen. You just think, thank you, Lord, it's done. Thank you, Lord. This is a divine appointment, and it is done. God is no respecter of persons. If the person's not saved, it doesn't really matter. He will do it. He will cause something to impact them to get them curious about Him. Amen. Amen. And you are the person that's standing there. You can't call Pastor Mark and go, what I do. You know, you're the person with the open door, and He wants to use you. And see, as He sees and gets you going on this, you will see more things. You will see manifestations of things that will leave you just completely amazed at how good He is. See, He'll begin to do more and more and more. Why? Because when you show yourself faithful in the things, in the small things, He's just going to open up more opportunities for you to do even greater things. And I don't know, Philip is one of these guys I look at and I go, how did he do that? He came from waiting tables and now he's out there preaching the gospel and signs, wonders, and miracles are happening all over the place. How did that happen? I don't know, it never says, but God has an appointment for you. He has a destiny for you. He has a future for you. And He wants to flow through you to impact everybody around you. And we can't get our logic in a way. We can't get reasoning in a way. We just got to let the power of God flow. And we just stand and believe. We just stand and watch this thing manifest. And the more we do that, and the more we'll see manifestations coming quicker and quicker and quicker, So He wants to impact everybody around you. Amen? So never say, He don't care. Yeah, He cares. He cares a lot. He cares greatly. Father, we thank You, Lord. Thank You for the power of God. Thank You for the transforming power of God to change lives, Father. Thank You, Lord, for all the times You've bailed us out, all the times, Lord, You've gone around behind us and somehow made us look good when we were in trouble. Thank You, Father, for all the breakthroughs, all the manifestations of the power of God, Lord, in our lives. Thank You for the healings that we've had, all the healings that we've had in here, all the financial miracles, all the family miracles, all the just miraculous power flowing, Lord. We thank You, Father, and we just praise You, Lord, that You want to do great things through each one of us, Lord. Open up doors of opportunity, Father, that we'll look back on and go, wow, how did we get here? But Lord, You know. So Lord, we ask for divine opportunities. We ask for appointments, Father. We ask for opportunities, Lord, that are so obvious to us that we just stop and say, oh, do you need prayer, That it just becomes second nature to us, that we just do it, Lord. And we thank You for it, Lord. We just praise You, Father, that You will use this church and this body of believers to impact this whole entire area. Father, we thank You, Lord. We just release the power of God in this place, Lord. If there's anyone sick, we thank You, Lord, that by Your stripes they are completely healed and set free and delivered. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, Father, You are the one with the power, Lord, and we just thank You for it, that it will flow through us and impact the lives of people. Thank You, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.